A wall of heat slammed into Anya as she walked through the door of the town's small cafe. She could smell burned coffee and some other scents she didn't recognize. Despite her unease with the entire situation, her mouth watered and she realized she was ravenous. Gregor moved to the counter and leaned in close towards the woman behind it.
Soyuz, Sovetsky.
Anya held back her excitement as the woman began preparing something for them to eat.
So, what did Khosadam do to get a nickname like Eater of Souls?
Before she was kicked out of heaven, Ek had her fitted with something called a brank.
I've heard of that. Some kind of torture device, right?
It's a metal insert, actually. It gets placed in the mouth of the victim, and a special hood goes over the head to keep the brank in place. It was used on women who spoke too much. But Ek apparently used it to keep his ex-wife from eating anything, figuring she would eventually wither away.
Ek sounds like a real charmer.
When Khosadam couldn't eat in the normal mortal way, she had to resort to other methods to retain her vitality.
Is this where the soul-eater part comes in?
Yes. Khosadam took to perching herself over fresh graves. When the soul of the departed rose toward heaven, she would ingest it.
How?
The method is supposed to have been something like sniffing it up through her nose. Doing anything with her mouth would have been too painful for her to endure.
Nice picture. So, Gregor, this is the thing the village thinks is stalking them?
Yes.
A six-toed deity who has been kicked out of heaven.
I did not make this up, Anya. This is what they think. To them, it is painfully real.
Does the legend say anything about six toes?
Khosadam grew an extra toe to help her grip the tombstones of those she would eventually dine off of.
Interesting. They really are taking this seriously, huh?
Yes. What do they think will happen next, Gregor?
They are concerned that she will hunt.
But we didn't pass any cemeteries around here on the way in. Doesn't that kind of rule out the whole supernatural angle?
Just because you did not see the cemetery does not mean there is not one. Last time I was here, the villagers buried their dead behind the church.
Down at the end of the street. Father Jakob, you mentioned.
Yes.
You think he's still here?
The people of this town say that he will be here until the wind sweeps his dust away.
Colorful. I guess we should go and see Father Jakob then. Maybe he'll be able to shed a little light on this whole situation.
Let's hope so.
First, though, we have some business to attend to in this cafe. It's been a long time since I've been this hungry.
As they walked away from the cafe, Anya felt a funny sensation. She turned back to see the old woman peering through the torn lace curtain framing the windows. Gregor didn't look back, but placed a hand on Anya's shoulder, steering her in the direction of the church.
As I said, they are distrustful of strangers. Give them time, and they will warm up to you.
This business of Khosadam has him spooked. Everyone is suspect.
Quite a place we've come to, Bob.
It's about to get even weirder if that sky carries through on the promise of a blizzard.
How long do you think we have?
Soon. Another hour, perhaps?
Is there a place we can stay here in town?
Yakutsk Hotel. The only place in town.
Gregor pointed at a decrepit building that towered over the other buildings. It looked quite run down, but any place would serve, as long as it kept them warm and safe from the blizzard outside.
Has anyone in town died recently, Gregor?
No.
So, if no one died lately, how is this Khosadam supposed to eat?
That is what has the villagers scared the most. It is said that when Khosadam cannot find a fresh grave, she will hunt the living.
She'll kill?
Yes. And when she kills, she will then wait for the dead person's soul to lift from the body.
And then she eats it?
Yes.
The first flakes began to fall from the darkening sky as they headed for the church. Anya wondered what the night might hold in store for them all. The steps of the church were slippery under Anya's feet, but she, Bob, and Gregor crested them and stood in front of the thick wooden door. Anya could see the faint glow of yellow through one of the glass windows facing the front of the church. It grew in size until it stopped by the door. A withered, ancient face peered out at them from inside the church. The old priest squinted, and then his eyes seemed to light up.
Gregor! Oh, Gregor! Come in from the cold!
Father Jakob waved them in, and Anya gratefully followed Bob inside.
Come, I have just made a pot of coffee.
The air inside the church was still, but warmer than it was outside. Anya caught a vague scent of incense in the air. She closed her eyes and welcomed the air of holiness that surrounded the church. She always made a point to be thankful for her blessings whenever she ventured into any church or holy place, regardless of faith. Father Jakob led them to a small room beyond the altar. The tiny kitchen had a coal-burning stove that radiated immense heat. Anya slid her coat off and rested it on the back of her chair. Father Jakob busied himself preparing a pot of coffee.
Now, Gregor, have you been good about going to confession since I last heard your sordid tales of debauchery?
Of course, Father Jakob. I have been a saint and don't need to confess anything.
I most certainly do not believe that, Gregor.
Well, thank you, Father. This should warm us up. I'm Anya Creed, by the way, and this is my friend and colleague, Bob Gulliver.
A pleasure to meet you, Miss Creed. So, what is it that brings you two to this village?
I'm researching dig sites in this area. I'm an archaeologist.
And you think there are places around here that would be of interest to you? I do not know what you hoped to find, but I don't think there would be much here worth exploring.
This whole area is steeped in history, but recent history might even be the most fascinating, what with the Magadan being so close by.
We should not speak of that place. Too many people died in those mines. Magadan is a wound that should not be opened up again.
But surely you'd agree that by understanding the past, we can avoid the same mistakes in the future?
You do not strike me as a naive woman. Surely you do not think that just because we look at the past that we learn all the lessons it contains.
It's a hope.
And we have so many examples of fools who are more than happy to repeat the mistakes of the past time and time again. Why should this be any different?
There's no guarantee. But the history of Mogadon and the mines is a story that more people need to know about. 3 million deaths should never be covered up or left to fade away in the footnotes of history.
Perhaps. But perhaps my concern does not even matter much right now.
What do you mean?
Yakutsk has other things to worry about.
You have heard, then?
Certainly.
We didn't see you out in the field. We thought perhaps you'd miss the scene.
I live in a small village, Mr. Gulliver. I see and hear everything. I was out there much earlier today. With the coming storm, however, I busied myself with preparations. As such, I was absent while you were there.
What do you think of it?
There is much the world at large does not know. There are still many remote regions, many legends that do not have an easy way of dismissing them.
You believe it?
I believe there is something out there, yes.
But the legend of Khosadam? It just doesn't seem possible to me.
And you've never had anything in your life that seemed impossible? I would have thought you would be more accepting of such things, my child.
Why so?
Just a thought.
The villagers are quite worried.
As they should be, Gregor. If the legends are true, then the beast will hunt one of them.
Not you?
I am a holy man. I tend to think that perhaps my soul is not to the beast's liking.
You sound pretty sure.
I do not have much material wealth, being a lonely priest. But I do like to think that the wealth of God is with me. He will look after a kindly old servant long forgotten by the rest of the world. Perhaps I am presumptuous, but then perhaps I am allowed to be.
You'll stay here tonight.
It is my home.
We must go before the snow worsens.
Yes. Thank you for the coffee, Father.
It was my pleasure to meet you. We get very few visitors in these parts.
Father Jakob led them back to the church entrance. At the door, he turned to face them, the light from his candle illuminating the folds of skin under his eyes.
Do not go out after dark. That is when the beast will hunt.
I don't think anyone would venture outside in this weather. If they do, Khosadam is not the only thing they'd have to worry about.
Everyone ready?
A blast of cold, snowy air slammed into them. Anya leaned forward into the wind, following Gregor down the steps. Bob brought up the rear. The darkness, punctured only by a few lights in the windows of nearby homes, seemed ready to swallow the town.
What do you think, Anya?
About what?
The priest.
He seemed very willing to believe in the legend. His English was also quite good.
Strange town.
You picked this place, pal, not me.
True enough. Father Jakob didn't seem too keen on me researching Mogadon and the mines, though, did he?
No.
I wonder why.
Because what the mines represent is too painful for most. Now, if you two are done holding a conversation in the midst of a blizzard, then we should get to the hotel before the owner decides to lock it up and not let us in. That would be bad, I think.
Bob hurried on, and Anya followed. Already the snow was up to their shins, and wading through the drifts made Anya realize how tired she was from the day of pedaling. She stopped then, aware of someone watching her. She turned and saw the glow of a candle in the church window.
Come on, come on.
Anya and her companions peered in at the terrified face huddled behind the just slightly opened door.
We need accommodations.
The innkeeper seemed to pale even more and then moved away from the door. Bob, Anya, and Gregor all rushed inside. Off to the side of the door, the innkeeper slid a giant plank into place, effectively barring the door. Anya noticed a sprig of herbs wrapped around the center of the thick plank and nodded at it.
What is that?
A bundle of local herbs supposed to ward off evil spirits, I'd wager.
Yes, people are obviously concerned about Chosadam walking around at night.
Anya glanced at the herbs and then at the plank. If there really was something supernatural stalking the area, she didn't know how effective some wood and plants were going to be at stopping it. The temperature inside the hotel was warm, and they all shed their coats. The innkeeper appeared a little more friendly now that he had, at least in his own mind, protected his establishment and himself from whatever horrors lurked outside. Bob removed some cash from one of the inner pockets of his parka and handed it to the innkeeper. The money disappeared faster than Anya could see, and the innkeeper grabbed their bags, leading them to a flight of old wooden stairs. At the top of the steps, a long, narrow hallway, flanked by doors on both sides, showed that the inn was larger than Anya had first expected it to be. The innkeeper dutifully stopped at each door, nodding first Bob and then Gregor into a room. Anya's room was in the middle of the corridor. She saw that the room was very small, but seemed pleasant enough. The fireplace was cold and dark, but already had a small pile of wood resting on the hearth.
Thank you.
Anya was alone. She sat down on the bed, resting her legs, which by now were feeling exhausted. As seemingly decrepit as the building was from the outside, Anya sensed it would stand solid during the blizzard. The pane of her lone window had frosted over with snow and ice. She peered out, trying to see anything outside, but the visibility was so limited she could only see the flakes that seemed to shoot straight towards her. She pulled the curtain. At least they weren't on the ground level. Anya smirked. While the notion of a supernatural creature hunting the village didn't sit quite well with her, she wasn't so closed to the idea that she didn't appreciate what she considered to be small advantages, in case there was some truth to the story. Anya looked into the small flames beginning to lick in the fireplace. Siberia during a blizzard. She shook her head. It wasn't even winter yet, but already Mother Nature seemed to have lashed out with startling ferocity. Anya wondered what the place was like in January.
Hi, Bob.
Everything okay with your room?
Sure. Come on in. It's small, but, you know, it's comfy.
Hey, you've got a fire going. Good. I see our views are the same. Nothing.
But at least we're off the ground.
I see that rough-and-tumble demeanor might just be fallen for the local folklore. Is that it?
The higher ground always holds a strategic advantage. If something attacks this place, at least we'll have that small thing in our favor.
I'll be sure to mention it while my soul is being sucked out of my body. You hungry?
You'd think after that lunch I wouldn't be, but I am.
Gregor's downstairs arranging for a meal.
I suppose we should join him then.
Dinner will be served soon.
As they reached the foot of the stairs, Gregor met Anya and Bob. Anya looked over his shoulder and into the main room of the inn. She spotted two men sitting by the fireplace, seemingly transfixed by the flames.
Who are they?
Two hikers, driven indoors by the storm. Yuri and Oleg, they are from Georgia, exploring the country.
Have they heard about what the locals think?
They do not strike me as being open to the idea of the supernatural. And there is something about them I do not trust either.
Why not?
I do not know.
Hello!
As they approached, the first man leaned forward with a big smile. He gripped Anya's hand and pumped it hard. Anya squeezed back, and the man's smile broadened. Anya could see the thickness of his neck, but saw a little movement when he moved. He was chiseled muscle with no fat.
My name is Yuri.
Anya.
And now we are friends.
Just like that.
We will drink later. Here is my friend, Oleg.
Hi.
Oleg was built the same way as Yuri. His handshake was only marginally less severe than Yuri's, but they both seemed friendly enough. Oleg's English was also less impressive than Yuri's. Anya found herself wondering why there seemed to be such a considerable number of people who spoke English in this remote part of Russia. It wasn't something she would have expected, but she did admit it made things easier. Anya pointed to the small table between the two chairs that Yuri and Oleg occupied.
I see you've already found the liquor.
Where are my manners? Would you like some?
I'll try it, sure.
The innkeeper appeared from the shadows at Yuri's signal, bearing three more small glasses and a bucket of ice. He set them down. Yuri fished out two small ice cubes for each glass, then lifted the bottle. Oleg handed a glass to Anya, Bob, and then Gregor before hoisting his own.
Smooth.
Anya tasted the fiery liquid as it raced down her throat, leaving an icy wake. When it hit her stomach, however, the ice blossomed into a raging fire.
Whoa.
Excellent, Anya! Excellent! You drink like a Cossack! Your friend does not seem to care much for it, however.
I'm more of a beer drinker.
No matter. Before tonight, we will drink vodka like the fishes. First, though, we eat!
They all sat at what appeared to be a picnic table, only longer. The tabletop was made from rough-hewn planks covered with a threadbare tablecloth. Anya's nose detected a barrage of scents coming from the kitchen, and her mouth watered even as she felt the initial buzz from the vodka come over her. The innkeeper's wife emerged from the kitchen bearing dishes. She set them down in front of the guests, and Anya surveyed the scene.
What is all this, Gregor? It looks fantastic.
Sturgeon, lamb, potatoes, and pelemi.
Pelemi?
Like a folded pancake filled with ground meat and vegetables. Traditional Siberian dish. Usually there is much fanfare with her cooking, but tonight the innkeeper is more worried than anything else.
About Khosadam?
Yes.
Gregor explained the story of the Khosadam to Yuri in fast Russian. Yuri and Oleg both stopped chewing their food long enough to take in the tale. When Gregor was done, they glanced at each other, eyes widening not in fear, but amusement.
Incredible!
Do you believe this foolishness, Anya?
I'm not sure what I believe. Most of my work deals with facts, not legends. And the supernatural and I aren't exactly on speaking terms, if you know what I mean.
The sharp blast of wind outside plunged the inn into darkness. The glow of the fire from the main room provided a modest amount of ambient light. The innkeeper and his wife swept in through the doors and began moving around, lighting candles that were positioned in the darker areas of the room.
It is good we are inside tonight.
You and Oleg were hiking across the countryside?
That is how we relax. We are businessmen in the south. Vacations are difficult to come by. Our wives do not share our zest for the outdoors, so they take our children to Europe and shop. Oleg and I come camping.
Smart of you to come here, though, given the weather and all.
We see the clouds today and think perhaps we should find shelter. Real shelter. Not the silly tents we bring with us for camping.
Anya watched as the innkeeper leaned in close to Gregor's ear. The large man nodded before the proprietor moved away. His wife followed him back into the kitchen.
The innkeeper wishes to close down for the night. He said we are welcome to stay up for as long as we want, but begs us not to open the front door.
I don't think anyone has any intention of going outside in this weather.
It is not us going out he is concerned about. It is someone coming in that worries him.
But who would be out on a night like this?
Exactly.
We do not need him anymore anyway. We have vodka, a fire, and friends. That is all anyone needs in life.
Anya looked across the room and to the main door of the hotel, wondering if it really would help keep evil away. She tried to imagine something seemingly so insignificant wielding such power. Anya opened her eyes. She first took stock of her room, wondering if perhaps there was an intruder. She didn't have far to look, since her room was only 12 feet by 12 feet. And aside from the bed, the fireplace, and a lonely bureau, it was empty. Outside, the storm continued to batter the inn. Her window panes were still covered. An instant chill came over her. She wanted nothing more than to crawl back into the warmth of her bed and fall back asleep, but something wasn't right. Anya crept closer to her door and put her ear against the wood. Anya frowned, wondering if it was Bob in the hallway. She assumed that he'd stay in his room, though, unless he needed to use the bathroom. There was something about the nature of these footsteps that didn't seem to jibe with someone intent on using the toilet. Stealth. Whoever was in the hall was purposefully being as quiet as possible. Anya sank to her knees, then put her face by the crack under her door and tried looking out. She saw only darkness. She closed her eyes and visualized her sword. It hovered there in front of her, ready to be drawn forth from the otherwhere. Anya stood and placed one hand on the doorknob. Anya plunged into the hallway. It was empty. She raced for the stairs, not looking back to see who else was emerging from their room. Someone was trying to get into the inn. Anya looked at the door. The heavy plank made an effective barrier, but she wondered if it could hold back a committed assault coming from the other side.
What is it?
Anya turned. Gregor stood there in a pair of sweatpants and no shirt. Anya saw how chiseled his body was. She also saw lines of hideous scars scoring his body, reaching around to his back.
The door. Someone is trying to get in.
What do we do?
I don't know. What if it's someone who needs help?
What if it's something else?
You really think it might be Khosadam?
I don't know.
Listen! Do you hear that?
It sounds like a cry for help.
We need to open that door.
You know what will happen to us if we are wrong.
Yeah, we lose our souls.
You okay with that?
Do we have any choice?
I suppose not.
When I say so, open the door and stand clear. I will handle whatever is there.
You will handle it?
Yes, I will handle it.
Anya steeled herself. She extended her hands, ready to close them around the hilt of the sword and pull it forth.
Ready?
Bah.
Yet!
Anya spun around. Gregor froze. The innkeeper stood on the bottom step, aiming a shotgun at them. He did not look happy.
Move away from the door!
You speak English too?
Move away!
Anya frowned. Someone needed help outside, and she didn't feel right not going to them. But the shotgun in the innkeeper's hand was extremely persuasive. Anya moved away from the door. The innkeeper moved toward it, keeping the shotgun trained on Anya and Gregor as he did so. Satisfied that the timber still kept the door barred, he moved away from the door, peering at the two suspiciously.
There is someone outside who needs our help, sir. We can't do nothing.
Khosadam is skilled at luring people to open their doors. If I had not stopped you, you would have fallen for it and we'd all be dead.
This was getting Anya nowhere. She briefly considered summoning the sword and disarming the innkeeper prior to yanking the door open, but reconsidered when Bob came downstairs, followed by Yuri and Oleg.
What in the world's going on here?
There's someone outside trying to get in.
Is this true, Gregor?
Yes, but we do not know who it might be. We were about to see when the innkeeper stopped us.
I see.
Perhaps we should all go back to bed. This may be something that will have to wait until morning for us to explore.
Yes, I agree.
The innkeeper nodded his head vigorously. Yuri and Oleg retreated with Bob on their heels. Gregor followed, and Anya came up behind them all. When she reached the top of the steps, she turned around only to see the innkeeper still eyeing her. The barrel of his shotgun was still aimed directly at her.
I hope he's satisfied if we find some corpse in the snow tomorrow. We should have been able to help.
In his mind, he's doing the right thing. We must respect that, even if we do not agree with him.
I suppose.
By the way, Anya, I would think twice about trying to go out of your bedroom window to see what the commotion outside is all about.
Why?
The windows are nailed shut.
We're trapped here?
Only until dawn.
Dawn broke the next morning with a bright but overcast light. Anya immediately hopped out of bed, grabbed a hot shower, and dressed before anyone else. Refreshed and not feeling any effects from the vodka the night before, she walked downstairs. If the innkeeper had been ready to shoot her a few hours previously, it certainly wasn't apparent this morning. Bright and cheery, he beckoned her to her seat, which already had a plate of sliced fruit, ham, and eggs set out before it. Gregor appeared, followed by Bob.
What the hell happened last night?
I don't know, but I aim to find out once we get some food down.
He has removed the plank of wood.
The danger's gone now, is that it?
Judging by this breakfast, the innkeeper's forgotten about almost shooting us. That's a good thing.
Where are Yuri and Oleg? Still sleeping?
I don't think so. The rooms were empty when I went past.
They're gone already? Talk about men on a mission.
You get a weird vibe from them at all? Something about the way they carried themselves didn't sit all that well with me.
How could you tell? You passed out pretty early on last night.
Hey, don't write me off that easily. I am extremely adept at acting stone drunk when, in fact, I am observing the situation.
Really?
Sometimes.
If you were acting, you certainly did a good job letting me carry you all the way upstairs.
Always nice to be carried.
Well, I don't know about Yuri and Oleg, aside from the fact that they don't strike me as middle-aged businessmen. They're far too in shape to be sitting around a boardroom all day. Did you see the necks on those guys?
Yes, they are at the very least former military.
Possibly more?
Possibly much more.
Well, I can't even eat. I want to get outside and check things out.
I guess this can wait.
Anya led Gregor and Bob to the door and glanced back at the innkeeper first, just to make sure there wasn't a gun trained on them. Anya opened the door and looked out. A few flakes drifted down in the morning light, but the brunt of the storm was over. Drifts of the white stuff towered at points along the main street, partially obscuring doorways and windows. A pair of troughs led away from the hotel. They vanished farther down the street. Other than that, nothing looked unusual.
The snow took care of any prints around here. There's no telling what was banging on the door last night.
Well, at least there's no corpse. That's a good thing. It's freezing, but I guess that's a given.
Well, there is at least one set of tracks. Where do you suppose Yuri and Oleg have gone off to?
We could follow.
Nothing much else to do. I don't think the cruise director will have the shuffleboard up for at least an hour or so.
Always the joker.
They trudged off in the troughs left by Yuri and Oleg. Even with the path through the snow, it was still tough going and took them over 5 minutes to reach the end of the main street.
Phew. And I thought biking was tough.
You need to spend more time in the snow. It will toughen you up.
Gee, thanks, Gregor.
Hey, it looks like they went into the church.
Did you hear that?
Come on.
They trudged back the way they'd come and then passed the hotel another block. Outside one of the houses, they saw a crowd of villagers standing around in a circle. As they drew abreast, the villagers looked at them with frowns.
What's going on?
One of our neighbors is missing.
Who?
The husband of this woman. He came out in the blizzard last night to get more wood for the fire. That was the last she saw of him.
Gregor, do you think it was him we heard outside the hotel last night?
I do not know.
And the trail has been obliterated with all of these people here. There's not much to go on.
What about police? Is there some type of constabulary around here? Maybe we could get their help.
Places like these are patrolled by a military police station a number of miles away. The odds are that even if we needed them desperately, they would not be able to get here until a few days from now.
You don't consider this desperate? That woman's husband might be dead.
It probably is, and there is nothing we can do about it now. We can only try to make sure it does not happen again.
And just how do you propose we do that?
We find Josedom.
Oh, just like that? If it was that easy, how come no one's done it so far?
Because they are frightened. And you cannot blame them. Something like this seems all-powerful to them. They feel helpless against it.
Until we come in and rescue them?
If that is the way it has to be, then yes.
I'm good with that.
You've never struck me much as the rescuing type, Bob. Are you sure you're up for this?
Just because I'm on the thin side.
Like an anorexic starlet.
It's all muscle, I'll have you know.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Bob. If you're good with this, then we'll do it. Fine.
We'll need some supplies.
We need more than that. We need a plan of attack. Just what did the legend say about this Josedom, anyway?
I told you everything I know yesterday. Not sure what more you could want.
I want plenty. Like, specifically, where would a beast like this go during the daytime? Does it hide? Does it vanish into thin air or go somewhere in another dimension?
You seem a lot more receptive to the idea of this thing today than you were yesterday.
Maybe listening to whatever it was outside the hotel last night gave me reason to reconsider.
I don't really know much more about the legend than what I told you.
What about you, big guy? Got any information you can share with us?
We are serious about this quest.
Yes.
Josedom will hide during the daylight. It comes out to hunt only at night.
So where does it hide?
Anywhere in the mountains it would like. Perhaps a cave. Perhaps a small shelter. I do not know exactly, but that is our best chance of finding it.
Then it looks like we're heading back into the mountains.
They had headed out of the hotel and struck out on a path west out of town. Gregor volunteered to take point, and Anya and Bob were only too glad to let him plow his way through the high snowdrifts. They followed along in his wake. Gregor drove them hard, but he also made sure they stopped every half hour and drank water. They moved across open fields. The footing tripped them up constantly. Unable to see what was beneath the heavy blanket of snow, they fumbled along over boulders and fence posts and bits of barbed wire a few times.
We're almost at the foot of the mountains.
Good. I need a rest.
I thought you were in excellent shape, Bob.
I'm king of bikes, but marching across snow-packed fields is killing me.
Gregor led them up a shallow incline and stopped under the large canopy of a pine tree, its branches stretching out overhead like a giant umbrella. Under the canopy, there was hardly any snow at all.
Nice place to camp.
We cannot stay here.
Why not?
Take a breath like I am doing.
Oh, God, what in the world is that smell?
Gregor knelt and studied the ground. Then he got up and crept around the back of the tree.
Yeah, I think we have found the missing villager. It's not something you want to look at, Anya.
I'm a big girl. I can handle it.
Anya immediately regretted her decision. She looked around the tree trunk and saw the disemboweled corpse on the ground. His limbs were outstretched, and the ground around him was soaked with blood and guts. A line of his intestines trailed away from the open cavity of his abdomen. Anya felt the bile rise in the back of her throat and had to clutch the tree trunk to keep from losing it.
Oh, my... Oh. Is that what this thing does to its victims? I just can't imagine doing that to someone else.
There is no reasoning for such depravity. Only the foulest creatures of hell can be capable of such things.
You guys didn't say anything about this Josedom thing disemboweling anyone.
Yeah, but she can also kill people and get their souls that way. Proof is right in front of us.
I don't know.
What is your concern?
Just that it doesn't seem like the actions of a supernatural creature to rip someone open like that. I mean, short of a werewolf tearing into a person. And we're not dealing with a werewolf here, are we? It just doesn't seem like the kind of thing a deity wearing some kind of torture device is going to do.
You may be right.
About what?
Perhaps there is no Josedom after all.
Then what the hell did do that?
We replace one problem with another. Maybe there's nothing supernatural about this. But there is something hunting around here. And killing.
Wonderful. So we're still in trouble.
But we love trouble.
I love digs. And so far, this trip certainly hasn't lived up to my expectations.
We should go. We still have much to climb before night.
Anya and Bob followed Gregor farther up the slope. Anya leaned into the hill, trying to carry the weight of her pack on her lower back and upper thighs. She was tired, but she knew she had to keep going. There was no sense stopping yet, not when they needed a better perspective than the one they had. As they climbed, Anya looked around. The cold mountain air wafted around them. A few lone bird cries sounded high up in the trees. But otherwise, there seemed nothing out of the ordinary. Anya felt uneasy, though. She couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right.
I'm getting the feeling that we're being watched.
For how long have you had this feeling?
Maybe 40 minutes now?
I, too, have the sensation that someone is watching us.
You didn't say anything.
Neither did you. This is a good place to watch the trail. If anything is coming, we will see it before it gets too close. Let us wait and take a look.
Well, it doesn't look like we're going to have to wait long. Over there.
Making their way up the trail were Yuri and Oleg. Gone was any of the friendly demeanor they'd shown the night before over dinner and vodka. Yuri and Oleg weren't carrying briefcases. They were carrying AK-47s.
So much for our new friends being vacationing businessmen. I can't remember the last time I saw that kind of firepower for a simple hike.
We need to put distance between us and them.
You think they're after us? They could be out hunting.
That gun fires 7.62mm rounds, Bob. One of those hits you, it'll take an arm completely off. That's not the sort of gear hunters use.
Well, maybe they're looking for Hossadam too.
I think it would be much better if we were not around when they get up here. I don't want to take the chance that they are after us. Guns like that do not leave a lot of room for talking.
Gregor scrambled up the trail, waving for Anya and Bob to follow. Anya crept up the trail carefully, trying not to make much noise. Bob was behind her. It seemed strange to her that someone like Bob, so used to adrenaline rushes at dig sites and riding his bike through remote areas, would suddenly turn so timid at the thought of danger. But she supposed facing armed gunmen was something new for a lot of people. Unfortunately, it was all too familiar ground for Anya. Ahead of her, Gregor turned right and motioned for her to follow. As she came up on his position, Anya could see that he had located a huge boulder jutting out of the side of the mountain. It appeared to sit flush against the mountain, but in reality, there was a small amount of space that would just hold the three of them if they squeezed in close. The wind had blown the snow off the trail, so there were no footprints to betray their hidden position.
We will wait here until they pass. Give them the trail, and then move up behind them.
But where are we going?
There.
Gregor pointed uphill. She could just make out a dark patch hidden a few yards up the trail, covered almost entirely behind pine trees.
Is that what I think it is?
A cave.
You think that might be where Hossadam lives?
We'll find out.
Anya watched as Gregor poked his head out from the side of the rock and then jerked it back in, holding a finger to his lips to quiet them both. Anya pressed herself closer to the rock, willing Yuri and Oleg not to see them. She could feel Bob's body trembling next to her. Gregor remained completely still, and it reminded Anya of a pit viper she'd seen one time, coiled and ready to strike. Anya closed her eyes and visualized her sword, then reached forward to grab it. She ran into a wall. She frowned. Stuck in such a tight, confined space, she didn't have enough room to pull the weapon out. If they were discovered, she'd have to launch herself out of the space as fast as possible and then pull the sword free once she was clear. The odds, she decided, were not good at being able to do so before Yuri and Oleg pumped her full of hot lead. Bob's body continued to tremble. Gregor looked at Anya, and his eyes had a cold look that Anya had seen many times before. Whoever Gregor was, he knew how to kill, and he'd done it before. That much Anya felt sure of. She was glad he was with them, but she wasn't sure how much she trusted him. Anya half expected a gunshot to accompany Gregor's move from cover, but after taking a glance, the large Russian gave them the all-clear signal, then put a finger to his lips, warning them to stay silent. Bob moved out of the hiding place after Gregor got out. Anya came out last, tapping Gregor on his shoulder as she did to let him know she was clear. Gregor moved off, crouched low, and headed up the trail to the dark place hidden by pine trees. Bob followed, and Anya brought up the rear. Gregor headed right for the cave opening. Pausing at the entrance, he tossed a rock inside. Nothing happened. Gregor looked at Anya and nodded. She and Bob followed him into the inky darkness. The interior of the cave drooped, and Anya could tell by the air that the ceiling would be low. She stayed in her crouch until Gregor signaled she could stand. Gregor had a red-lensed flashlight in his hand that threw decent light around the cave without sacrificing the onset of their night vision.
Is it safe to speak?
I think so, but softly.
I thought I was gonna piss all over myself out there when they came past our hiding place.
Everyone feels that way when they are hunted. When I was with the military, we had an exercise. Each one of us would go off on their own, and there was a hunter force after us. For 4 weeks, we had to elude them and survive on our own in the middle of winter. Horrible cold, deep snows, and always they had dogs. It was a challenge.
How did you do?
I was the only one not captured.
Wow, Gregor. You never told me that.
It was not important. Just another experience in life.
Real interesting guy you got yourself there, Bob.
How could you tell?
Gregor led them down into the cave. Anya identified the dripping of condensation higher up on the cave walls. Perhaps there were stalactites overhead. She couldn't tell, since Gregor had the only flashlight, and he was using it to light up the ground. A misstep could mean a broken bone. And a possible audience with Yuri and Oleg. As they moved deeper into the cave, Gregor pointed at the ground.
It is softer here, and there are depressions in the soil.
What does that mean?
We are not the only ones to use this cave.
Is it Hossatam?
I do not know. There is water damage on the track, and it is tough to feel the details.
Feel?
Yes, I can read tracks with just my hands. I do not need to see, usually.
Where did you learn that?
An American Indian.
In Russia?
No. In Arizona.
You are a piece of work, Gregor. Did you know that?
Look, do you see it?
See what?
A fork. The cave branches in two different directions. We could split up.
No way. I'd much rather that we all stuck together. It's safer that way anyway.
We can cover more ground if we split up. And if we encounter anything, we can always shout for help.
Oh, I don't know. What do you think, Anya?
Well, Gregor's right that we could cover more ground. But then again, if there's something in here, am I really crazy about confronting it alone? No way.
You wouldn't be alone.
I wouldn't?
No, Bob would be with you.
And you're taking off? Fat chance of that. No offense, old friend, but Gregor here seems a bit more adept at handling adversity than you.
No offense taken. I'd rather have Gregor here too.
All right, if that is what you want. You are the boss, and I work for you.
Thankfully.
We should continue on. We just need to pick a direction. Anya, would you like to make the decision?
Why me?
I trust your instincts.
Great. No pressure.
Anya closed her eyes. How could Gregor trust her instincts when she wasn't sure she did? She imagined herself walking down the cave passageway that went to the left. She felt a dull ache in her stomach. Then she switched and imagined herself walking down the right side instead. This time, her stomach stayed relaxed. Anya opened her eyes.
I think we should take the right passageway.
You're sure?
That's what my gut says.
All right, then. I will lead.
You will stand still.
They turned around. Yuri stood 10 yards away. Oleg flanked him on the left. Both of them were aiming their assault rifles at the group.
Oh, look. The entertainment just arrived.
Sit down, all of you. We have much to discuss.
Oleg turned on a big black flashlight, which instantly bounced bright beams of light across the interior of the cave. Anya was grateful for the light, since she could at least pick a safe spot to sit.
You two, sit over there, away from the woman.
Woman? Last night we were on a first-name basis, and now you're calling me woman?
Be quiet and listen.
Yuri shouldered his rifle and sat as well, but he kept some distance from the group.
Why don't we start by having you tell us exactly what you're doing here, and what you hope to achieve?
We're archaeologists.
Go on.
There's nothing to go on about. Like we explained last night, Bob here rides around looking for cool places to research. I came along on this trip, and we got caught up dealing with this whole Khosadam thing. That's it, plain and simple. No embellishments.
And why would we believe you?
I have nothing to hide.
And just how long have you known about these two?
I was hired by Bob to act as a guide and protector of sorts. I have known him for a number of years.
Of course you have. You have been trying to recruit him.
What? Recruit me? Gregor? Recruit me for what?
For Russian intelligence. Gregor is an agent with the SVR, what you used to know as the KGB.
You've got to be kidding me.
I have no reason to lie. Gregor, on the other hand, has every reason to. He is an experienced agent used to recruiting Americans to spy for the Russian government.
Why would he bother with me? I don't have access to anything even remotely classified.
You have a brother who works in the Department of Defense.
How'd you know that?
There's nothing that money cannot buy. And we happen to have a very powerful boss. Someone with a lot of money who can make telephone calls and get whatever information we need.
So that makes you, what, more spies?
We work for the Georgian Mafia, for a man by the name of Viktor Prezhenko.
I know that name. He's a power broker in the Russian natural gas and oil industries.
Yes, he is a man who knows how to get whatever he wants, by any means necessary.
I suppose that means killing, maiming, torture, and all the rest of that kind of stuff.
It means by any means necessary.
And those AKs are for what?
For you, if necessary. But I honestly hope we do not have to use them. I just like wasting ammunition on people.
If you're here at the behest of Prezhenko, then that means you must be up to something highly illegal.
Legalities do not bother us very much.
So what's Prezhenko doing sending his henchmen out into Siberia?
Stalin thought the richest region of Russia was Siberia, and he was right. This area in particular has a pool of oil that could turn Russia into one of the biggest producers in the world. Our own dependence on oil imports would be zero. And Prezhenko could set himself up as the man in charge of exploiting these resources.
What happens to the people who live here now?
They're in the way. We need the land they own right now. That is why we are here.
So it was you two...
Us?
...who unleashed the story of Khosadam on these poor people. You tried to use the legends to your own advantage by scaring them away. And when they refused to leave, you took it one step further and started murdering people like the poor villager we found mutilated on the trail. You two are utterly barbaric.
We haven't killed anyone.
Yet. Although we might make an exception with you.
You're lying. We found the body. You didn't hide it well enough.
Bob.
Don't stop me now, Anya. I've dealt with people like these guys before. I know how they operate. I was on a dig in Indonesia that some lumber magnate wanted for his own. So he sent in thugs and beat all the men in a single village to death. The rest of the village fled and he got what he wanted. They think they're above the law and it really disgusts me.
Bob, there's something you're forgetting.
What?
Yuri and Oleg were with us inside the inn last night.
So?
So there's no way they could have killed that poor man.
Damn, you're right.
I should say thank you for clearing our names.
But you won't. And don't bother anyway. You and Oleg there are still two nasty pieces of work.
Perhaps.
Perhaps nothing. Even if you hadn't killed anyone yet, as you say, it still doesn't make you guys saints. Especially since you're looking to rape the land in this area.
Gregor, is what they said about you true?
I am supposed to deny it, of course. That is standard procedure.
So it is true.
For what it's worth, I think you are a nobleman.
But not so noble that you wouldn't consider not recruiting me.
I have a job to do. The needs of my country outweigh my personal desires.
You are a fool, Gregor. We offered you a job, but you turned down very good money. No one turns down the kind of money we offer unless they are already working for someone else.
So we found out who you worked for.
And lucky me, I happened to run into you two again last night. Imagine my surprise.
I suppose you had the old stomach lurch when you saw us, eh?
Something like that.
Maybe you hoped we wouldn't remember you.
I'm not that naive. I knew my cover was blown. But for the sake of us all, I kept it up.
And you weren't planning to tell us, Gregor?
My plan was to take care of things without you or Bob knowing about it. I prefer things nice and clean, without a whole lot of explanations. Surely you understand that.
So, everything you told us, the old tales and folklore and your stories about military maneuvers, that was all a bunch of lies?
No, it was the truth.
How can we believe you?
I'm not asking you to. But you should know better than most that a good lie is always based on the truth. So even though I was not honest about my real identity, the stories to support my identity are true. Take it for whatever you feel it is worth. I'm not interested in impressing you with my honesty.
Oh, no. He's interested in exploiting me for his country's gain.
We still have a problem, then.
And what's that, Yuri?
If neither you nor us created Khosadam, then who did?
Anya looked at Bob and then at Gregor. Could Gregor have fabricated the tale to get closer to Bob? Anya supposed it was possible, but didn't think it fit Gregor's professed modus operandi of choosing simple tactics to produce results. Perhaps Yuri and Oleg were lying to them, Anya reasoned, but did that make any sense? They had the guns, after all. And it didn't look as if they had any interest in lying about who they were, now that everything was out in the open. Anya shivered slightly as she thought about the corpse they'd found earlier. What a grisly way to go. It didn't seem like something any of the three Russians would do.
I don't know who is behind the story, but I'd like to find out.
Maybe there's no one behind it. Maybe Khosadam is real.
Ridiculous! One of the villagers has no doubt figured out that there are too many strangers in town lately. They are trying to drive us away. But we will get to the bottom of things and show them that they are the ones who should be frightened.
Yeah, that should go well. Gregor, are you sure this creature isn't something your superiors cooked up to help you in your mission?
Yes. In fact, I haven't had contact with my superiors for almost a week now.
Is that normal? I thought you spies checked in every 24 hours or else they send the cavalry in.
There will be no cavalry for Gregor. The intelligence services are virtually bankrupt. Manpower is limited. Most of the higher-ups are corrupt and on someone's payroll.
This is true. I am one of a few still committed to my job.
So where does this leave us? If no one is able to come up with a reasonable explanation about where Khosadam is or how it was created, we're not left with much.
Except for what Bob said.
You're going along with that too?
Why not?
Just seems a little too, I don't know, old-fashioned for the likes of a super spy.
I am not a super spy. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, this is all well and good, but I'm afraid Oleg and I have much work to do before we head back to the village.
What kind of work?
Tidying up work.
They're going to kill us, and then they will most likely dispose of our bodies where we won't be found until nature has had a chance to do its work on us.
Well, that or Khosadam. Either way works fine with us. We are not picky on that regard. It has been nice conversing with you all again. Now, your time is up.
Anya closed her eyes. Her sword was still out of reach. The cave was simply too confined to pull it out. No matter. If she couldn't use the sword, she'd use something else. She launched herself from her seat and drove a heel stomp kick right into Oleg's rifle. The gun slammed into his midsection.
Damn it.
Anya ducked instinctively as a ricocheting bullet flew past her ear. Anya pivoted and saw that Gregor was on top of Yuri, but Anya couldn't see the assault rifle. It must have been between them.
Bob, help Gregor!
Anya turned back and found Oleg on his feet. She spotted his weapon, broken and useless, on the ground a few feet away. But now he held a wicked-looking knife.
Shooting you would have been kind. Now I will cut you open instead.
Lucky me.
Rather than fixate on the knife, Anya focused on Oleg's shoulders and hips. They would tell her where Oleg's attack would come from. Anya dropped her hips and jerked her body out of the way. Oleg's blade flew past her, but before she could punch down on the top of his arm, Oleg had already brought the blade in front of him.
I am not so easy to disarm.
Oleg kept the blade dancing in front of him. He kept his other arm positioned over his chest. The Georgian stabbed in at her again. He wasn't wasting time with a slash. He wanted her dead. Oleg's shoulders twitched, and this time, as he stabbed in, Anya chopped down on his arm. Anya followed the chop with a backhand strike to Oleg's Adam's apple. Oleg's hands flew to his throat and his knees buckled. Anya watched him try to get air down his shattered trachea, but nothing would come. His gag reflex also seemed to be hyperactive. Nothing was getting in or out. Anya turned. In the midst of dealing with Oleg, she'd been unaware that the other fight had ended. She could see two bodies on the floor of the cave.
Bob!
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.